Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Hi.
Hi, I'm Laura.
I'm Carrie, and this is Sexy Unique.
Sexy Unique.
Unique podcast.
Tough Sicilian.
Tough Sicilian bitches.
Huge news.
JK,
out
I'm Carrie.
Of the TSB.
I'm Carrie.
JK, I'm
the
Carrie.
The huge news is that I'm actually Carrie.
And I'm actually Laura. So. Don't get too confused, but crazy news.
Crazy fucking news.
It was the top story on the Daily Mail celebrity sidebar.
It was huge.
It was huge. It was groundbreaking. It was earth shattering. It was eye opening.
You're like the Gaga meme. Incredible. Iconic.
Dedicated,
fantastic.
Iconic.
Dedicated. Dina Manzo is back at it again,
as only Dina Manzo can be. Well, so basically it was proven that Dina Manzo's ex-husband hired a member,
the brother of Albert Manzo, who also runs the Brownstone.
Yeah, okay, brother of Albert Manzo. It's kind of confusing. It took me three reads to really piece together what had happened, because I forgot that they all are married to each other, or were.
Yeah.
Albert Manzo, Albert Sr.'s brother, hired a member of the Lucchese crime family to, what did he do? I already forgot.
He hired to beat up Dina's ex-boyfriend when they were still together.
Mm-hmm. In exchange
for a deeply, and I quote, deeply discounted wedding at the Brownstone. So someone in the Lucchese crime family wanted an easy wedding for their kid or their whatever.
They wanted to pay $1,000 for a Brownstone extravaganza. And he
and
said,
in exchange,
okay, they, all you have to do.
They brought one of their muscle to beat up his ex-wife's beau.
Also, this guy who beat them up was a made man. He's a high-ranking captain, so the article said. High-ranking captain. He's a made guy in the Lucchese family. And he went on to get in lots of fraud trouble. I mean, they were brought up on racketeering charges and intent to commit wire fraud and stuff. But then this Lucchese crime family guy, he also was being investigated because
Manzo is being brought up on wire
fraud?
Yeah, I think they both are because they're getting charged for like this racketeering for like telling
Albert
him to.
Too?
Go- no, not Albert. I think brother.
Right.
But the Lucchese guy, I feel like his name is like, it's like Derpa or something that really didn't seem that Italian to me.
Yeah.
Or Perda or something like that. He is getting in trouble because he, I guess, like said he crashed his Mercedes or totaled his Mercedes and then submitted like an insurance claim to get all the money back. And then they found out like he didn't actually do that.
Whoa. Okay, so
I love just needing to commit.
Did it actually happen? The assault?
Yeah, the assault happened. I'm pretty sure they got the wedding. They had the event.
Not even a free wedding, a deeply discounted wedding. That's how much of like shysters the Manzos are.
They are truly like, they are a crime family. Now I'm thinking all the way back to Danielle Staub having security involved whenever she was meeting with Caroline. She knew.
And we were all sort of gaslit by the Manzos and the Loritas to think that, like, I mean, I think Danielle was a little over the top, but I think she was probably, I mean, she was literally like, I don't know if I'm going to get killed. And we were all like, oh, she's like deeply has like some kind of personality disorder, which maybe, but also she probably was genuinely worried she was going to get killed.
Yeah, or at least like roughed up.
It means the Manzos must have a long-standing relationship with the location. Like they're the sort of like entertainment.
Yeah.
For the fam- like, because every family has like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a friend growing up whose mom was a clown for the Merlino crime family in Philadelphia. She was like a party clown. Like she would come and face paint. And she was their go-to clown. Like they loved her and they always hired her for their like their kids, like, you know, confirmations or all that shit. So like I feel like they have certain familiars.
Dina's ex-husband has been arrested because he cut a deal with the Lucchese mobster to assault and scar her now husband with a slapjack. What's a slapjack?
A pancake?
No, that's a flapjack. I don't know these terms. I know. That's what I thought too. He's going to hit him in the face with a flapjack.
He's wanted for throwing pancakes at people in North Jersey.
He's been assaulting people with a deadly flapjack, with the deadly pancakes.
Wait, what
and
is it?
Scarring them.
So what is it exactly?
A slapjack is a card. I'm now looking. A slapjack is a card game. But it also has to be
blackjack? No,
slapjack. I think it's like when you... I don't know.
No.
I don't know these things. Okay, I'm Googling slapjack weapon illegal. Oh my God. A slapjack is an illegal weapon. I think it's like a stick that you can like... It's like a stick that you can like be like... And then beat someone with it.
Oh, whoa. Like a bundle?
It's a blackjack weapon that most closely resembles a club. Some people call them a leather billy club. Policemen used to use them as well. Of course they did. They were considered nightclubs by some people. Often the blackjack weapon is flexible. It may be created with a long metal tube, then a spring and a metal ball at the end of it.
So damn.
It's basically just like a club that you can just be like... And then it extends, and then you beat the shit out of someone with it in a parking lot.
So Dina's boyfriend was beaten with that.
Well,
beaten.
He
remember Dina? Why not beat her?
Beat her. Why not beat her? Thomas Manzo is accused of hiring Lucchese crime family John Perna to assault his ex-wife's then boyfriend. He attacked him with a slapjack in the parking lot of a New Jersey strip mall at Manzo's request. Wow, beaten in a New Jersey strip mall with a slapjack is peak Jersey.
You know where I'm sure it was at?
It's in Wayne. It's in near the Wayne probably Medical Center. It was in front of
it was
Posh.
At Posh. Wait, so Dina, I just love Dina going, have you tried beating her?
Have you tried beating her? Wait, the attack left the man with a permanent facial scar.
Whoa.
He was angry. Manza was angry that Dina had moved in with her new boyfriend after they'd separated. And then in exchange for carrying out the attack, prosecutors say Manzo allowed Perna to host a lavish wedding reception at his event venue in Paterson, New Jersey.
Listen,
so all
it
you
all
have
comes
to
back
do,
to the brownstone.
It always comes back to the brownstone. So if you, this is like big time wedding hack. And honestly, Stassi and Beau should think about this as they're trying to finance their now canceled Italian wedding is I'm sure there's some Italian crime families that all they would have to do is go beat someone with a slapjack.
It's really insane. It's so, it's also just so like suburban and like so Jersey. Like you want a good, you just want a good deal on your niece's wedding or something.
I just want a lavish wedding. I don't want to have to pay for it. Hey, what can I do?
Hey,
go so that, on okay. down. So,
Tiny Manzo, their father Tiny Manzo, who was in the mafia, who was whacked by the mob, found in a trunk of a car in a parking lot, another parking lot, I think at a strip mall as well, or like a,
I mean,
or like
why
a grocery
not?
Store park.
Yeah.
He ran the brownstone. So
I hope it wasn't Corrado's Market where you can get a good panine.
Corrado's got a good panine.
I need a panine.
I want a panine.
I want a panine. I can't even do Danielle anymore. We're so far away from like our days. I want a panine.
I want a panine. I want a panine. I can't wait to have a panine. I can't even go into Corrado's Market and get a panine. So the brownstone is definitely like has like an axis of like it's definitely been like a haunt for the mob probably.
Absolutely.
For
and you
decades.
You know in Sopranos when they all like all the captains and the bosses will have big meetings together and like big nice dinners? That's like where you have them is a place like the Brownstone.
Yeah. I think it probably is like they have like the heads of every family like meet sometimes at like a big banquet hall or like what you're just saying. I think
private.
That's definitely yeah, they probably have like events for them and I'm sure, I mean, this is all alleged, people, so please don't be quoting us because I don't want to get, like, a cease and desist fight.
I don't want to be targeted by the Lucchese crime family unless it's, like, a really sexy gangster who would like to, like, target me with his dick, but no other, like, violent targets. Also, like, we're just a podcast, like, look elsewhere.
Please, I don't.
Please, Luca, we get like whacked for this. I please no. That would be actually the most 2020 thing to happen.
I already have a scar in my hand from quarantine, so from a mason jar rot scar. So I don't need a slapjack rot scar.
I really don't want to get slapjacked.
But what I'm saying is, do you think is there a world where the Brownstone is some kind of like laundering place or just
I think anything is possible, but they probably keep their books like extremely clean. So they're like, we can't because it's like even the fact that they would be like, we'll give you this wedding, but we'll just make it like crazy discounted is like they're not just going to have something that they can't like bill for and reflect on their books, you know? And also it's like, Albert Sr. has to know about all the shit going on. Like he's a partner in it.
And his look, if your dad was in the mafia, like even if you're not in it, you're affiliated with it. Like you know people. I'm sure if not directly involved, the Brownstone is like we were just saying, some kind of like a safe space for mobsters to hang.
Definitely.
Like, I'm sure the Manzos, like, keep good with the crime families of that area with the Brownstone. And, like, you know, Carol, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to see it. But, you know, I'll tolerate it if they eat the meatballs. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is bitch better?
Is bitch better?
But yeah, it definitely feels like they're, it's like, you know, in John, did you ever see John Wick?
No. Was that
more like, you know, like a vampire movie? There's like a bar that's like run by humans that the vampires can hang out at.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of shit, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. They know more than they let on. And I think this, like, we're a happy family, we're all about family, is just a front for, like, far more nefarious behavior.
We laugh big. We love big. And we fight big. And we make up big.
Also, don't Dina and Caroline not speak anymore?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. I wonder why. Because
Why the fuck not?
Yeah, if your sister, what if your sister literally had like something to do with like your boyfriend getting the shit beat out of him? You would definitely not talk to him.
You know, Caroline was probably like, "What? Who am I to get in between brothers?
It's not my business."
But I think they were fighting before this happened.
Well, I mean, this certainly didn't help men.
Yeah. Well, also, I think I heard, didn't we hear that Dina stopped talking to Caroline because she had some theory that Caroline was the one who called like the feds on Teresa?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear that.
I think I read somewhere that someone said that, like, I think one of the readers sent us some, like, the Jersey gossip site, that one that was like really juicy that we saw.
Oh,
where they were saying something about how like Dina heard, or like she believes that the Manzos had something to do with the Giudices getting the feds called on them for one of their scams. I don't know.
Wow.
So I think Teresa is the cause of one of the rifts, but I think this probably did not bridge the gap.
Well, when everyone's doing like a bunch of illegal shit, like a great way to get the heat off of you is to go rat out someone else.
Yeah.
So like if
I'm an informant.
If you feed someone like Tree and Joe to the feds, you probably get a pass on like them looking into whatever it is you're doing with your establishment.
Are the Manzos Blue Lives Matter?
I think that they probably are like outwardly and vocally like Blue Lives Matter, but they would probably just say that to be in good standing with the police. Because they host, what's crazy is they also host those like beer and benefits for the cops. So they're playing both sides. But I feel they would definitely be like, we love our policemen. We cherish everything they do.
Yeah, we love the slapjacks.
They love dirty policemen that will like take bribes and help protect them.
Caroline has like a whole closet of slapjacks. Which one are you going to use?
It's right there in the slapjack closet.
I got a pantry and I got a slapjack pantry. It's like beef jerky. It comes in all sizes and tastes.
I have a 14-incher, a 9-incher, a 24-incher. What do you want?
I got a 12-inch over here.
I opened up my slapjack pantry and I said, wow, I have so many of these. Take one. Take one home with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you take one. Some people collect beef jerky. I collect slapjacks. It's like a big Slim Jim.
Slap into a slapjack. Am I right?
You know who loves a slapjack? Melania.
Melania is always stealing slapjacks from Caroline's slapjack closet.
She heard the news this morning and was like, hey, what'd I say?
She's like, hey, you should have finished the job. No body, no questions.
I told you this shit stink. Don't act like your shit don't stink. Manzo fam. Hey!
Hey, you're all garbage.
You're... God, that's like the craziest shit. Dina needs to be back on the show.
We need her back. We've got to have her back.
She needs to be on like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, because she's in LA now.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, when the fuck is that fucking show coming back? For the love of God, when? Haven't we been through enough?
Hold on, I'm looking it up right now.
That and New York are just like gone. What the fuck?
Well, okay. Also, in other, speaking of New York, I like can't watch that show anymore.
Why? Because Dorinda's such a drunk.
No, they're just, they're all, I can't, I don't like any of them. I don't even like Leah. Because, like, also, I didn't even realize Leah, like, rides and rides for the, Leah's like a Federalist stan.
What's a Federalist stan?
Like, that website, The Federalist, that Meghan McCain's husband runs, that's, like, really, like, dark and, like, kind of alt-righty. And she wrote, like, an anti-Me Too essay.
Oh, I read that. I think that she's friends with, I'm like, oh, I subscribe. No, I'm just kidding. I think she was friendly with Anthony Bourdain's. Did you read the article?
I haven't yet, but I just saw it and was like.
So basically it was, I think it got really blown up as like anti-Me Too, but I read it and it was more just saying like kind of calling out Rose McGowan and Aja Argento for like their performative like Me Too behavior in the wake of Anthony Bourdain's death. And it kind of was like, it was just about their hypocrisy and kind of a critique of the way they presented themselves and then made this like movement. They like co-opted it in a lot of ways. It was not as bad as people like, there was a lot of like social media outrage over it. And then I read it and I was like, okay, this is not as bad as like people are making it out to be.
She's canceled, Laura.
She's fucking canceled. She fucking hates Me Too. No, she doesn't. She just said, like, I think everyone, you should read the article, not you.
Okay, I'll read it. No, I will.
But it was interesting. It made me think, I was like, maybe she's friendly with Anthony Bourdain's like ex-wife or something. Like, it just came from a different perspective.
Yeah. I mean, Rose McGowan did like, she did a lot of good, but she also like, she like shamed, like there was a trans woman at one of her readings of her book and she like, the whole crowd like turned on the trans woman and like the woman was like trying to say like, basically like insinuate that Rose was being like turfy and some of her things she was saying about feminism, and the trans woman was trying to voice herself, and Rose, like the kind of the crowd sort of turned on her and like kicked her out, and Rose was like, I am your sister, you know, and like was being like super, and like this woman was like, what the fuck, and like you're, there's like lots of holes in what you're saying and like in your feminism, and Rose was like basically like, she was like, do not even say anything. So like, I don't know. I think Rose has obviously had some questionable.
Hun, did anyone that watched the one episode of her like reality series that was supposed to be on E can see very clearly that Rose McGowan is deeply unhinged. And that's not to take away from like anything that happened to her. And like, I feel
she was
really
brave for what she said, obviously. Yeah.
But also like, I'm sorry, you are giving testimonials in your bathtub wearing like a series of unclear turtlenecks. Like, you are fully, you've lost the plot.
We just do not have time for TERFs in 2020.
No, but also it's like, we just don't have time to be like canceling or getting outraged at people for like the dumbest shit. Like, if you're going to be canceling anyone, it should be canceling the fucking police. And like canceling your city council members that like don't support defunding the police, and like
canceling
your
Rossetti.
Elected officials that are like don't have your best interests at heart. Like everything that just is like turning on other people that are on your same team is so counterproductive. And like, it's important to definitely like speak out if you're like, if you see something that's like fucked up that someone does, but also it's like, maybe the energy is better spent like doing other things rather than just being like so pissed off at every little minute thing.
I also do want to cancel Ramona Singer.
Oh, she's like partying in the Hamptons with Donald
okay
Trump
there
Jr.
was a there was like a raw dog like bareback face party in the Hamptons, because that's what it feels like. That, and
was it outdoors or indoors?
It was like, I think it was both, like at some mansion in the Hamptons for some big developer, and Ramona Singer was there, as well as Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly, like, Goyfile or whatever. And
Goyfile.
I don't know what her name is. And Ramona was there, of course, without a mask on. And Leah did call out Ramona last week for, like, returning to New York from Palm Beach just as New York's outbreak was slowing down and Florida's was skyrocketing, and, like, not wearing a mask in Florida and, like, being performative about her.
Yeah, like, I loved that. Pandemic. I was like, hell yes.
No, I agree. But then to be not only at a mask-free, you know, soiree with the fucking president's garbage son and his garbage girlfriend, I'm just like, Ramona, you are too much. She needs... That show is just... They should just fire all of them. Keep Leah on and bring in people like she knows, and just get rid of all the... I'm sorry, get rid of everyone else. Like, they're all toxic. They're fucked up. They're, like, they're all... Most of them have alcoholism and need to, like, deeply address it and stop rationalizing their horrific behavior. And, like, I don't want to see, like, I'm sorry, and I know it's America, but, like, I don't want to see a fucking Trump supporter who doesn't, you know, follow scientific protocol on my television screen. Ramona sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see how it plays out between her and Leah for, like, another season, because I think that that could just be really interesting drama.
Yeah.
To have, like, those two opposing viewpoints and, like... And it breeds, like, good conflict and discussion. Like, I didn't watch the season where...
Sorry, I just got heated because I've just been watching New York for so long, and I'm so... Sorry, keep going.
No, I mean, I didn't watch the 2016 season where, like, basically she admits, like, she voted for Trump, or, like, Bethany is, like, coming for her over it. But I think that that's, like, it's interesting to know... That like, it's interesting to know where she stands and to, like, see how people navigate that on TV, I think is, like,
yeah, no, it's interesting. It adds good, it's good conflict, and it's like kind of a microcosm for,
I mean, don't I think, I feel like it's kind of better, like, yes, Ramona's problematic. I'm not, like, excusing her behavior or whatever.
Of course you're, like, not. I don't think, I'm not saying you are. I'm just being, I'm, yeah, being, like, kind of on, I'm not having nuance I'm so You're sick of the it. Bullshit. I'm over it. I'm over it. When Tinsley left, I was kind of like, now it's, Bethany was one
so
thing.
I was so sad when Tinsley left. I didn't realize it was just going to happen, like, mid season all of a sudden. And I was like, emotionally prepare for, like, the Midsommar departure of Tinsley Mortimer.
And it was kind of unceremonious, and she just kind of left, and it was just like, all right, bye. And
yeah,
Bethany was one thing, Tinsley was another, and I'm just now, like, all the people who were sort of somewhat, I mean, Bethany for sure, Tinsley a little more murky, but at least some semblance of, like, morality. Or some kind of compass on the show is out the door. And now we have Dorinda, who is, you know, crippled by rage and grief, obviously, over what she's been, fucking alcohol. I'm sorry. And, like, I should not. One thing I never want to do in my recovery is, like, say, tell someone who they are and as an addict, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, but it's hard to watch, even it's hard to watch Leah and Luann have a conversation about, like, why it's okay that they relapse and that it's, like, fine. Like, Luann threatened to kill a police officer, which, like,
love that,
but also
love that, like, wish you'd done it, babe, but also
but also, like, she clearly is out of control when she's, I mean, she took a boat, as Bethany reminded us, she, like, took a boat for a spin in the Hamptons, and, like, Bethany had to, like, they had to, like, almost call the Coast Guard to get her off, and, like, you know what I mean? And, like, Tinsley assaulted, got into like a, she got into a scuffle. So it's just like, there are, sorry, I'm like trying to collect my thoughts, but when you have dire, not, yeah, pretty dire or like substantial consequences when you're drinking and then you're like, two people are sitting on a couch being like, yeah, it's okay, we're good now. It's a little, it's hard. It's, I'm just saying, it's my opinion that it's hard to watch. Cause it's, cause I feel like as though, I don't know, maybe I'm digging myself into a hole. I just like, it's hard for me to watch people rationalize like toxic behavior, especially when it's exacerbated by substances.
Yeah. And when it's like close to home in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. It's definitely, I understand where you're coming from.
And Dorinda is just so mean.
Yeah, she's not fun to watch. Like, I definitely enjoy the other women and, like, even enjoy Ramona to some extent because it's like,
yeah,
I know who this person is. Like, nothing she does is, like, surprising to me. Like, it's very, like, she's been the same way from the jump. So it's like,
totally.
I know what I sign up for when she's like on TV. But Dorinda is like
unpredictable in a way that's scary.
It's a different breed of like just like cruelty without any self-awareness or even humor about it whatsoever. And even awareness that she's doing it, which is just the craziest part, is that one second she can be like screaming at Tinsley and like targeting her, and then the next she's like, I'm a girl's girl, like I don't blah blah blah, like I don't do this shit. And it's like, you literally 20 minutes ago were just like screaming at this person.
She slut shames, she has this sort of like matron of the Berkshires, like kind of like holier than thou thing going on, but then at the same time is like sitting at a charity event next to her friend, her old friend, aka Ramona. That one video of last season when they're at that event for like domestic violence, God. And Dorinda is just sitting next to Ramona and then going, it's important, it's important, into her ear, and you can see the spit flying off her, like the spittle, like just the venomous wrath that's coming, like the hatred that's coming out of her is like so palpable.
Yeah.
And Ramona actually looks afraid. Like when you're, and I could like feel her like hot vodka breath. Like I could like feel that in that moment. And it's like very uncomfortable to watch.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, it's very much a show that's predicated on plying these women with booze and letting them like,
yeah,
run off a cliff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that kind of is now the draw for New York. So,
and that it feels a little, I'm conflicted by that. And I, you know, I'm someone who's like partaken in this culture of like watching women fight against each other. So sometimes I have like, I sit back and I'm like, am I part of, I mean, I'm definitely part of some kind of like, it's a little emblematic of like what's, you know what I'm talking about, like there's like a misogynistic, obviously, like there's, I mean, if you watch Housewives, you're actively watching and participating in like misogyny of some degree, but yeah. Right, no, maybe take that out.
I think that you have a point. I mean, like, but then I think about, if I was just watching like a bunch of drunk dudes, like that is not as exciting or as fun or as funny or lighthearted. And it's like, I think there's a layer of misogyny, but there's also a layer of like triumph and entertainment. I mean, like that's like,
no, and there is on the flips, there's, I'm saying it's, that's just one element. And I'm saying on the flip side, like, to your point, like these dynamic, complicated women who a lot of them are like middle-aged and like women that you wouldn't normally see like starring in a TV show, and a lot, or like being the center of a TV show. And like, that is important. and seeing like that dynamics between women and like, you know, I'm saying the show sort of has a lot of these elements. Like, it's not one thing or the other.
Yeah.
But I think specifically with New York, there's like a train wreck. Like, there's a train wreck aspect that's starting to like grate on me a little.
Fair. Yeah.
But on the flip side, then in August, we have The Real Housewives of Potomac, which is the greatest Housewives franchise.
I'm going to catch up.
Talk about triumph.
Wait, can I just start at season two with that?
You can. I would just go.
One? Is it all good?
It's all really good. Okay, season cool. One's a little, it's pretty brief, if I remember correctly, like, because they were just trying it out, I think, because it was a new city. But, I mean, it's from the get-go. I think they're the most compelling people that we've seen on this, I don't know. It has, and there's like truly like important discussions being held. It's deeply funny. It's timely, and it's just more interesting to watch. And they're like, it doesn't feel like New York feels like it's just like they know it's a train wreck, and they're just like trying to outdo each other almost, and like being the messiest. In Potomac, it feels like it's in another dimension almost of like, yes, they're complicated. They fight, they have like drama and like they're petty, but like they all have way more like autonomy, I feel like, than they allow the women on New York to have in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to watch that. The universal they.
Yeah. I'll end with this with New York. I've watched that show since the start. I love it. It's like a part of me. Like I watch The Housewives. I partake in it. We're doing a podcast about The Housewives. Like I am not saying I'm too good for New York. Like I'm going to keep going. I'll keep watching, but it's just right now it's grating on me because there's just so much toxic behavior and there's no counter to it, I feel like. There's no like foil. Like Bethany used to be the foil, and even Tinsley was sort of a foil for it, because Tinsley was not afraid to call out like Dorinda.
Yeah,
but now it's like,
I don't know, hopefully Leah steps into that role and she becomes the foil. Will. I have like really high hopes for her.
I think she's really
taken to her, and she I think is sober now. She just posted that she got a 3-month chip.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And she is selling one of her like bucket hat, see-through bucket hats. She designed a special see-through bucket hat, which I was like, do I need one of these?
We both need them.
I love someone commented on her like bucket hat post and was like, if only it had like a brim that wasn't see-through, I would totally get it. And then Leah commented back. She goes, who cares? It's supposed to be fun, not functional. And I was like, I love that. Ooh, I like that.
No, I think however you feel about Leah, I do see her as being like one of the new, like she's going to be on that show for a while.
Yeah. And she could even usher in like a new guard. I would love for her sister to be on the show.
Yeah. We need to have some.
We need a little young blood to mix.
Oh, we need to have some women of color, like more represent. Like I want more of like the New York that it actually exists, you know? And a gay man.
Would love a gay guy.
Need some queer people on that show.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Speaking of a show with one queer person on it.
Greg.
Greg, we're looking at you.
Greg, God love you.
Oh, Greg.
This episode was hard to watch. But it was also really, really amazing.
Yeah, I was like riveted. I was like, finally some like, because I feel like this season, aside from like the brawl and kind of the drama that followed the brawl, has been like, it just started off with such a bang that you can't really go anywhere from there. So this felt like, okay, we're ramping it back up. This has like a point.
Yeah.
But
winter has fallen.
Winter has fallen, and Jersey in winter post New Year's ain't where you want to be.
Yeah. No. What you said earlier about wanting to live there, let's revisit that now that you've seen what New Jersey is like in the dead of winter.
I said I want to go stay there through Christmas.
and then fly back.
Maybe do the brownstone on New Year's Eve, maybe.
Yeah.
Only for a discounted rate. And then get back to Sunshine Place.
I know. Look, I know Jersey winters well. It's...
I mean, after like a Chicago, like doing Chicago winters in college, I was like, it's over for me. That period of it's literally January through about end of May is just like a constant barrage of
cold. It's a vortex.
And then also like February is the worst month on the planet in those kinds of like wintry locations.
Mm-hmm. This is that like 2 weeks after New Year's, January, where it's just like a whole year ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. You're just like, God, every day I'm cold. Like, if I go outside, it's going to be freezing.
And still, now that we're in the time that we live in, every time I watch like a show from specifically from like 2011, I'm like, wow, they have no idea what's coming.
No, they live in a fully different world. They live in another dimension, in fact.
Yeah.
They're in the Matrix.
Wow. So we start off, Teresa's doing a photo shoot. Teresa's kind of takes a back seat in this episode.
Yeah. And it was nice to have a little bit of a break from her. And I was loving the photo shoot. We really kicked things off in like an Italian way.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, tell nonna what to get a cab of Dali.
Palomia.
Filomena.
Ah, Gabriella, bring... Filomena goes, Gabriella, bring the pasta.
She'll bring out the napkins here. And Gabriella, like, brings a napkin to Joe and, like, slaps it in a pile of sauce. And he was like, why you gotta put it in the sauce?
And you just see a shot of Gabriella just...
Gabriella's they're doing a photo shoot. Not happy. Melania is truly pissed.
Well, they're doing a photo shoot for Teresa's Fabulicious, and... The photo shoot is centered around her family, so she's doing like specifically a shot with like her mom, her, and Gia, like the three generations.
But they also have a whole... like a shoot of all of them at the table.
Yeah.
Adriana Teresa's, like, included.
Teresa has to do like three different speeches for some like B-roll thing they're doing, and they have a whole film crew there, and they all look miserable.
They're in hell. Melania literally hates her life, is like groaning, moaning and groaning, so angry. And then at one point, Melania's like, ugh, and Joe goes, Melania, shut up.
Shut up, Melania.
Shut up, Melania. I was like, damn, he really just talks to her like another dude.
Teresa goes, we're leaving all the bad behind in 2010. And I went, I wrote, oh, honey.
You wish. buckle up, bitch, because you're going to jail. Joe's going to jail. Joe's getting deported. He's gone forever. Coronavirus is gonna hit. And we still haven't even seen the worst of anything yet.
I know. The photographer at one point.
Yeah, the photographer, Ben Fink.
Ugh. This
is an asshole. I don't like him at all. He has a terrible attitude, and like he's not like a can-do personality.
He's definitely like in from the city. He's not feeling this family, and he's kind of passive aggressive. And at one point, he just turns to his like one of his associates or his colleagues, and just goes, "This is insane. I think we have to shut it down." Because Gia is just having a. There's just one shot of Nonna, Teresa, and Gia, and they're. Over some like manicotti, and Gia is just frowning. And at one point, Melania comes up, and Gia goes, "Get out of here!"
I thought Melania walked away and said that to the photographer.
No, Gia went, "Get out of here!
Get out of here!" I got
when
that.
She does that voice. When she screams at her sisters, her voice always drops.
Yeah, she goes into like rage, a place of rage.
Gia and this gay hate each other.
They hate each other. He's like, can you just smile? Just one smile. Can you just smile once, Gia? Just smile. And then she kind of is like, mm. And then is like, her face immediately drops after he gets his shot, and she just like walks off, and he goes, "Thank you, Gia. I know that was a challenge for you."
I know.
I was like, what? You're talking shit to like an 8-year-old.
I know. Like, there's also 100 people in their house.
Yeah, like how miserable is your life that you're going to be like passive aggressive to an 8-year-old?
I know. It's insane.
He's literally like a 35-year-old man.
I mean, look.
Thank you, Gia.
Fair,
I know that was a challenge for you.
To be fair, I kind of get it.
If I was Gia, I'd be like, throw up a hefty middle finger in his general direction. I mean, yeah, like, this family is insane. They're out of control. But also, I could
see myself saying,
you would do a talk shit to a child. You would talk shit to a child for sure.
But it would be warranted.
I know that was a challenge for you.
I know that was a challenge for you. Real talk. One time I was doing, one time Simon was teaching a slime class to like a bunch of very privileged kids. Mm-hmm. And this one girl was such a brat, and she was wearing like slippers that were like probably more expensive than like my car. And she at one point said like, "I'm doing a better job than Simon." And I went, "No, you're not."
I love when kids like get under adult skin, because like, I guess technically they shouldn't, because it's like, you're a little idiot. Like, you don't know anything. Like, you could literally be killed at any given moment. Like, you're helpless, hopeless.
I know.
Pretty worthless in the society at this point. But like, they really do, they can do a good job of it.
Oh, yeah. Gia knows what she's doing with him.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, I went, not. I didn't say it like that. I was like, well, I think he's doing a good job.
I love like reasoning. He's actually doing really good. Okay? Please don't say that.
No, I think he's doing a good job.
No, he's doing good. He's doing a great job. Okay.
He's 35.
35. Oh, I know that was...
I'm 31.
Thank you, Gia. I know that was really hard for you.
I know that was a challenge for you.
I know that was a challenge for you. Do kids understand, like, cuntiness?
Yeah.
They do? I'm like, kid listeners. I'm like, any 5-year-old, 5 to 8-year-olds out there, do you understand what it means when someone's cunty to you?
My sister used to be a nanny for this girl in New York when she went to Columbia, and she was like from like a, you know, Tony family uptown. Mm-hmm. And the girl was like 5 or something, and she was adorable but like very smart. And they were at the playground once, and they saw a friend of hers from like kindergarten or whatever, and the girl said something to the girl that my sister was babysitting, and the girl my sister was with went, "Ah, ha, 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 you're so funny." And then she turned to my sister very quietly, and she goes, "I don't actually think she's funny." My sister was like, "Oh my God." So I think they do.
Okay. I want any readers, any readers that are also patrons, I want to know the cuntiest thing you've ever said to a child. And then I want to know the cuntiest thing a child's ever said to you.
Yeah.
And we'll read them on next week's bonus episode. Yeah. sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com.
I don't actually think she's funny.
I don't actually think she's funny. Thank you, Gia. I know that was a real challenge for you. Okay, Ben Fink.
Gia like stared at him and then like walked off.
She was just like eye rolled and was out of there.
And you just heard Joe go, "Shut up, Melania.
Get out of here." Kathy and Rich are trying to decide if they should have the talk with their daughter, Victoria.
Okay, I just have to say, this whole plot line of like preserving her sanctity, I was like, I don't need to see this.
Mm-mm.
I don't want to say, like, I was just like, this whole thing is, like, weird, and, like, I don't know.
Also, like, let's just normalize talking about sex with your kids.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that big of a deal. Literally, their sex is the reason that they exist. So, like, it should just be a free topic to, like, discuss. And, like, there does not have to be, like, all this, like, preciousness and, like, weirdness around it.
Kathy says, Victoria inherited the party gene.
What? She's like an alcoholic? Like, what does that mean?
Victoria's into PNP.
Victoria inherited the meth gene.
The PNP gene.
The PNP gene.
Also, that glamour shot of Vicky on the wall was like truly iconic.
Yeah, and
like,
I was
looking
that.
Like a greaser.
She looks so good.
I know. I want glamour shots like that. You have them.
Have glamour shots. I remember I was like so gung-ho on getting glamour shots. My mom would not let me get them for forever. And then finally, I think when I turned like maybe 12 or 13 or something, I finally was allowed to like go get my glamour shots. And then I talked my little sister and little brother into getting glamour shots too. And like, but they had to let me style them. And so, like, I styled, like, my brother in, like, a varsity jacket and then, like, a leather jacket. And then my sister had, like, a bowl cut. And I put her in, like, she was topless with just, like, a feather boa. It was incredibly inappropriate now that I think about it. Like, her shoulders exposed.
How old was she?
She must have been like 6 or 7. If I was like, I'm 5 years older than her. But I just remember it was the weirdest sensibility because it wasn't like, it wasn't sexy and it wasn't even childish.
No, of course.
It was like she had hair like Caroline Manzo, but then like was also like a 6-year-old in a bow. It was very strange.
Kids are so weird. Or like the vision you have for the world at that point is like truly bizarre. Even at 12.
I mean, she was difficult to style. That haircut made it difficult to style, but I was trying to get her into like lots of different looks and like really get things going for her.
Maybe
the bowl cut was like a little grown out. And then I felt like extreme glamour. I wore like a velvet shirt from the Gap.
My mom had oil paintings done of my sister and me. Well, she had one done of my sister, and then I think they were like, we'll get Carrie one too. And like later when I was 17, mm-hmm. she had her, this woman came over who painted it and like took photos of me and in my like school uniform.
Oh my God.
And my mom, but my mom like wanted me to look younger than I was. Like she wanted it to be like me immortalized as like a little boy. She's like,
you
I wanted to
17
look...
at the time.
I was 17.
Great.
And she was like, my sister had this, like, I mean, it was a great painting, but like my mom wanted me to look like she wanted to capture like the boyhood of, or, you know what I mean? And it was just like, so that was like my only real like glamour shot experience.
Mm-hmm. I love
it. It's funny.
So how old were you in the painting?
Like 10 or 11. Story of my life.
I love. Did you have to stand for a long time and like pose, or it was mostly she took photos and then
she took photos. I mean, my sister had this like glorious like one that she had done at 16. That was like, it was hanging in her home, and like my parents would have people over and they would all like flock to it and be like, wow. And then I think they were like, oh, we'll get Carrie one too.
We need to even this out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to even this out. But it was fun. But that was my only experience with glam.
Glamour shots should really come back. It's like a shame that I tried to find one, but they like are not around anymore. That was like the best place ever. I know. I would love nothing more than to get a glamour shot with Tony. I would actually love an oil painting with Tony. If anyone out there paints, I would love a portrait with me and Sir Tony.
You should.
Yeah, that's the next step.
The next step.
Hey, Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Christopher
has a job.
Is bartending at this place called The Wicked Wolf in Hoboken. And he's like, yeah, he's like on demand, doesn't pay it on its own.
I like Christopher. Geez. He's taking initiative.
Too.
He's like getting out there, getting his bartending job. I'll bet he makes a lot of good money and like
great tips at The Wicked Wolf.
At The Wicked Wolf, he's got his head on straight. He's got like a good thing going for middle. He's the middle child, right?
He's the youngest.
Yeah, yeah. They did it right with him.
Yeah, he's great. Youngest, he's very.
I feel like they kind of work it out in like a multi-kid family.
Oh, I'm not multi-kid, but I'm the youngest.
Yeah, like they work it out like. That
they
kind
do.
Of independence for themselves.
They have a lot of autonomy.
Yeah.
But the whole Lurita Manzo clan plus Greg walks in to pay him a visit. Ashley flops in with a floppy beanie.
Her purple beanie.
Pouting. She looks so hungover.
She has like perma hungover face.
She has MDMA face.
When you're that age and you're staying out all night, you're like binge drinking every night, like you're just, your skin is like in a sallow zone 24/7.
Yeah, because you're also like still like hormone, like you're still, your body's still like changing and when you're 20, like you're not really an adult yet.
No,
in so many ways. It's like my skin used to break out all the time in college because I was fucking drinking beer all the time.
Yeah, you both are and aren't. It's a weird neither world phase.
Neither world.
Honestly, you should be allowed to drink at 18. It's insane that you're not allowed to. Like, it's such an arbitrary.
Yeah.
Got like rule in America.
I know my dad, it's weird to hear about like my parents like going to the bar after high school. Like senior year.
Cuz they used to be.
Well,
because
they
to
were
be
around.
18?
It was 18, yeah.
When did it change to 21?
the 80s. I don't know.
Whoa. I didn't realize that. I thought it had always been 21.
Mm-mm.
Another history lesson.
They're like, Ashley, you can't take a shot. And she's like, I know. And then Lauren says, she reminds me of myself when I was 20 years old, lazy with no ambition. And I wrote, you're 23.
Yeah. Okay, the Lauren. Fuck?
Chris is a year older than Ashley.
This is a classic, like, 23-year-old's perspective.
I went, you run a makeup bar called Mally that your parents pay for.
Yeah, which I think a reader sent us in a tip that Mally isn't even, like, her makeup line. It's, like, an MLM scheme. It's, like, an Avon or some sort of line like that where you can, like,
oh, God.
Sell it and try and get other people to buy it. It's, like, a Ponzi scheme.
Listen, nice, we've all been... Win. People nice hair, Ponzi, great bag.
Nice bag of no, great I, hair.
I've like interviewed for jobs that were clearly pyramid schemes, like marketing jobs.
But didn't you run away from that job?
One of them, I went to the bathroom during the interview and I ran to my car. Because they wanted me to go door to door to give out coupons for some like MLM scheme.
Yeah.
Ashley
says she can't pick an interest. She has too many interests and she can't just pick one. And it's really stressful working on Lauren's shirt.
And then Jacqueline reveals that recently Ashley's friend rolled her car while drunk. And the police came to the Jacqueline and Chris's house in like the middle of the night because Ashley was like associated with her.
So I think Ashley is actually partying and like going a lot harder than they're really showing us because their level of concern is like, I mean, they allude to it a lot and they're like, she goes out all night and sleeps all day. But it's like, they don't really, I feel for everyone in this situation because like Ashley's parents like are not taking a stand against her. Like, obviously,
no.
Someone's giving her money to go out all the time, or someone bought her a car, so as like allowing her to do all this shit. So, like, it's kind of on you guys, too.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, at some point, if someone's in that state, like, you have to step in. Like, if you're watching someone rock bottom, at a certain point, you have to realize, like, obviously, they're responsible for themselves, but when you're under that, when you're in a spell like that, like you sort of lose your rational mind a little. So you need someone to at least sometimes you need an external like cutoff zone moment or like someone stepping in and just saying no or like blocking you from getting out the door. You know what I mean? Like just to like snap you out of it. So like you can't just sit back and give her out $60 to go.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of boundaries with her. So, like, they enable her to do all this, like, behavior that they don't like. And then they, like, come down on her for doing it when they're the ones that are helping her do it in the first place. So it's just, like,
she's
this never-ending cycle.
I think it feeds into this weird dynamic where, like, Ashley is sort of, like, a punching bag for the family. And, like, they all shit on her. The cousins all make fun of her. Like, she's sort of the scapegoat. And I think they're justified in their concern and, like, frustration with her. But they also, like, I think take out stuff on her.
Totally. I mean,
it's kind of dark. It's really dark. Like,
it's really dark. And unfortunately for Ashley, she just has, like, a very hateable vibe. So she doesn't make it, like, easy
no.
for her, but at the same time it's like even when later when they're like about to have that intervention, the brunch intervention, they spend the whole lead up like just like shit talking Ashley before she gets there. I was like, this is not gonna help. Like, you're all steamed and fired up, like this is not gonna help you like communicate effectively with this like girl.
And they're all drinking Bloody Marys.
Yeah, it's like it's just truly their actions don't match their words. And in that respect, I have a lot of empathy for Ashley because I'm just like, it would really irritate the fuck out of me to be in her situation.
It feels like the blind is leading the blind.
They very much are.
And I think I wanted to like slap Albie across the face when he was like trolling her.
Mm-hmm.
He was they're like really like Greg is actually like the only one who's like asks Ashley how she's doing.
Yeah.
And like they're all like they're just mean to her. And it's and like you said, like she doesn't make it hard for them to be mean to her, but that's they should excuse. they should all grow up a little.
Just because someone's a fucking idiot asshole doesn't mean that they deserve for people to be mean to them all the time.
Like her self-esteem, like you can see there's like a shot they do like this very poetic shot where they zoom in on her in the mirror of and behind the bar and you just see her looking down as they're all like making jokes about her and she's like kind of smiling, but you can see that she's like half looks like she wants to burst into tears.
Totally. And if you get that much attention for being like a fuck up, it starts to just become
who you are,
self-fulfilling prophecy, who you are, and like a role that you're almost like cast in by your own family, and like you're expected to kind of play the part.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to feel like it would be easy to slide into a pattern of that because it's a confirmation when you act out and then get that kind of reaction. It like just becomes this self-perpetuating cycle.
Yeah, and it alienates her further and sort of like validates her feeling like everyone's like against her. It feeds into her like kind of delusional perception of the situation because she's clouded by immaturity and like drugs.
Yeah.
And then Ashley, Jacqueline and Chris slip out of the bar and Ashley goes, "Wow," she goes, "My mom just left." And then outside we see that Ashley's biological father and her stepmom are outside.
Mm-hmm. And I wrote what'd you write?
I wrote Ashley's dad is hot, Rami. He's hot.
He's attractive. I wrote, "Aw, that's sweet for her." I love our different approaches.
No, I also wrote, "I'm emotional."
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, that's cute." But then she called him daddy, and I'm always weirded out by an adult that calls her dad daddy.
He sits down at the bar next to her, and she turns around. Ashley goes, "Oh my god, what are you doing?
Daddy?"
And then her stepmom Jody is on the other side.
I love Jody.
Jody's great.
Is real stepmom energy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she just knows. Is like, I just know, like, I just understand that stepmom vibe is very much like, I feel like Jody's kind of maybe reminding me a little bit of my like current stepmom, Jenny. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, like a
she cares,
figure.
She's invested.
But she knows like her place.
Yeah.
Or like she knows that there's like a boundary, right? Like mm-hmm. every step parent probably knows that there is like a boundary.
They may or they may not know.
And ideally.
That's the fun in Jody. And that's the fun in a step parent. It's cute to me that Jacqueline is close with Ashley's dad and wife. Like it was an unexpected happy twist.
Chris, Loretta, and her dad text.
I love it.
They're like pals. Also, her dad has had a facelift of some kind.
Maybe it's steroids. He's big.
Yeah, maybe.
It could just be like HGH. Rami.
Rami, what? I wrote, I can say that something's emotional and then also in the same breath.
Absolutely. Both can exist at once. Wow. I'm not, wow. I understand from all angles.
I have a thing for like bald daddies.
Bald daddies?
I do.
Yeah, I was like.
Like Corey Stahl.
Oh, Rami.
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 R.M.
Rami Malek.
Rami Malek.
My hole.
RawMyHole.gov. And there, we were watching this FX show called The Strain that was like not that good.
The Strain.
He was in it and he wore a wig and I was kind of like more into him bald.
Yeah. When he first came on the scene with like Midnight in Paris, and that's when I was like, who is this man playing like drunk Ernest Hemingway? I was like, that's when I was first like Rami. And then when I watched
PMH.
Plow my hole. Plow my hole. PMH. Plow my hole, please. When I watched, what's that Kevin Spacey fucking Netflix show?
House of Cards. He House was so Cards. Tragic in that.
He was so tragic, but that was a Rami part two. And then The Strain, which was great for the, or was it even great for the first season?
It was good in like the first half of the first season, and then it got like crazy. And then the second season, there was this whole plot with like blind children that I was like, no.
Guys, it's like, stop. We're not doing guys.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a Strain head. I think I didn't even finish like the finale of the first season because I was like, y'all went too far. You lost me. But the plow me PMHP energy still existed for me.
A place of plow me.
A total plow. Speed the plow.
CeeLo Han. Remember?
I'll never forget.
That was like her big, that was like a big moment for Lindsay.
It was a huge moment. She did
that
a play.
That started her.
Did she do a play for like a week? How long did it last? Speed the plow.
I think it lasted like 3 weeks. But she, that would started her European journey.
Mm-hmm.
She never came back after that.
Hashtag speed the plow is exactly how I feel about Corey.
Corey.
And Joe Gorga. I just have to be honest. Speed the plow.
Ball Joe. And Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh my god, don't even fucking talk to me about Ben Mendelsohn. I want him to lisp all over my entire naked body.
And
I can't even watch, like,
you're not mincing words.
I can't watch Bloodline yet because I'm like, I can't handle my own, like,
he's really hot now.
My own plow energy will be, it's like too much. So I'm also saving it. I'm just saving that.
Also, but Kyle Chandler's in that show.
I'd love to be just Eiffel Towered.
Yeah.
Speed the plow from both sides.
That show has everything. It has Kyle Chandler, Sissy Spacek, and Ben Mendelsohn.
And
an underwater statue.
I'm in. Okay. My new initiative is watching Potomac and Bloodline. That's it.
And The Strain.
And I've already seen the first half of season one. I got my plow energy, but I'm ready for more Corey Stoll vehicles in my life.
There's also a computer, and then I'll go back to the TSB, but there's a computer hacker in The Strain who's like this hot, like British woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like Keira Knightley. She just talks like Keira Knightley. And she's always saying like, did you miss me? You know, like, she's always like pithy and so funny.
Yeah.
Strain heads, no.
Oh, my God.
So we
got
the Gorga's house.
Sorry, but then what? We'll go. Corey Stoll's in Ratched. The Nurse Ratched show that Ryan Murphy's doing. I wonder if he's going to be plow energy or just like Nunca. Probably
that
both.
Was Sarah Paulson.
Mm-hmm. He'll be both.
He'll be both.
Which is the best plow energy when it's like best. A true Nunca, and then you're just like speed the
PMHP
plow.
Energy.
Mm-hmm. He's in Billions. Maybe I need to watch that.
I'll let you do that.
Yeah.
I'm not watching that show.
And then fair.
So then we go to the Gorga house. Melissa and Kimmy and Lisa come over to see the baby sister.
Mm-hmm.
I just wrote they're iconic.
Lisa is truly an icon to me. She got punched in the face by Philomena. Never forget.
NF, never forget.
And Melissa is still really rooted out by Tree's digs about her singing. And she's allowed to be. Like, Tree was really rude to her.
Not only did she say, no, you can't be in our family cookbook, she completely, like, deflated her hive of being like, wow, my loving husband just built me a studio. Like, I'm recording with some really talented producers.
Anyone can be a singer now.
Yeah, you know what I wrote? I wrote, the sisters they're like really good sisters to Melissa.
They are. It made me wish that I had a trio of sisters, like two sisters.
Yeah. Like they tell her that they went to a psychic and their late father came through and he alluded to Melissa's singing career, and they said what Melissa needed to hear.
They're supporting her.
They are. And at first I thought maybe they were a little jealous of Melissa, but I actually don't think they are. I think it's true, like, big sister, like, just being, like, maternal and loving.
Yeah, they love her and they want her to be happy. They want her to thrive.
But then we find out that Melissa is strictly anti-psychic.
She goes, I don't even believe in that, but I believe this. That's how, like, it starts. She's
the god warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Gargoyles!
Jesus. Gargoyles.
Crystal balls!
What did you call Trump's girlfriend? Kimberly Garfoyle?
Kimberly Gofile.
Goyfile.
I don't know. She used to be the first lady of San Francisco. She was Gavin Newsom's ex-wife. Did you know that?
No.
And then she pivoted from Gavin Newsom to Donald Trump Jr.
Oof, like, downgrade.
She was basically going to be like the first lady, the first lady of California. And then, like, went alt-right. Crazy.
Also, the Trump guys are so disgusting. Those jeans. Ooh.
Inbred.
Oh my god, I read a really good blind item on that Instagram account, Du Moi. Actually, it wasn't a blind item. It was just like celeb gossip. But that said that Ivanka Trump, her hair, none of her hair is real. She has the same like thinning hair as her father. And her hair is completely made out of extensions. And then someone else like confirmed it. Like, hairstylists were writing in. And I was like, I don't know why. I've just been like so bolstered and excited by that news for days now. That's really kept me going, just knowing that her hair is fully a lie. And I think that's actually, for her, the biggest kind of karmic retribution that could be like wreaked on her spirit, is to just have like wispy thin Trump hair.
Her hair looks like multicolored cheese sticks.
Yeah, it's just all extensions. It's literally like a, like.
Yeah, it's not the look, and it's like Kellyanne Conway's
weave, hair. But it's not even like a weave. It's just like probably individual little
rice
extensions.
That's what hate and like white supremacy does to you over time. It just thins you out.
Hair right out.
It's like the book Thinner by Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kellyanne Conway has been cursed. Like, her hair was falling out at one point. Now she's like...
Her plastic surgery... I gotta give it up to her, because...
No,
what
she...
What a fucking makeover. She swanned herself. And no one is really, like, talking about it. I mean, people are like, whoa. But then we all just forgot. But, like,
she Uncanny Valley'd us.
She literally did a swan just to herself. And now she's competing in a beauty pageant of one.
No, and she kind of, things are so crazy right now that she just did it knowing full well that no one would really say anything.
And no one did.
Like the press kind day. Of, just, we were all, everyone, I'm sure everyone was like, whoa, hey, oh, yikes. Wow. Okay. Okay. And we're going. Yeah.
It was. Has anyone ever done that before where they fully just like transformed their entire being of physicality mid, like, that's just like not a thing like politicians do, is get like a glamorous makeover like midterm.
It is. It's pretty wild.
It's wild. It's wild that she did that. More power to her. I fully am like, everyone should get plastic surgery who wants plastic surgery. But like, it's, I just feel like it's an important thing that we're not talking about enough.
It was shocking. I'm just looking at it.
It's insane.
It's really insane.
Okay.
Caroline is cleaning out her closet.
Caroline's cleaning out her closet. Her closet looks like a
massive
men's section.
Yeah, it's really Dillard's men's section.
I just wrote, now it's just bleak and Jay Winter. Mm-hmm. We cut to the Manzo's house. Caroline's just bragging about how like none of her clothes fit anymore because she's lost so much weight.
This old song and dance.
In front of Lauren.
I used to be 92 pounds. Then I got up to 145. That was really big. She must be like 5 foot tall. If that's like big for her.
She's 2 feet tall.
I'm 2 feet tall.
Remember Karen, Danielle?
She's not a supermodel.
She's 4 foot tall.
She's 4 foot tall.
But she's saying it in front of Lauren. I don't know. I just feel like all the things she's saying to Lauren are like not good. Like she's talking about how like much weight she's lost in front of her. And like, she's, it's like, I don't know. There's just something careless about it.
Yeah. She's approaching like Lauren's own struggles with self-esteem in a really wild way.
At one point, like, she goes, you got 8 pounds of sausage in a 5 pound bag.
So what?
The fuck?
Caroline, I come to someone and I'm like, God, I really am like feeling bad about my body. I feel really like fat lately. And like, I just don't feel good about myself. Like, I wish I could lose weight. And then they turned to me and said, maybe you got 8 pounds of sausage in a 5 pound bag. So what? I would be like, literally fist yourself. I'm never speaking to you about this again.
I was like, you said that to your human daughter.
Told her she was a sausage. She's a stuffed sausage. That she's stuffing 8 pounds of sausage into her 5 pound skin bag. But it doesn't matter. And then
I just heard,
like,
holy shit.
Yeah, it was not.
And then Lauren says, no matter how I look, I'm not going to like how I look. And then you just see Caroline wipe a tear away and she goes, I don't like to hear that. It's like,
she's doing that,
a
like,
fucking therapist.
Histrionic
to intervene.
Like, parent thing where like, if you react, like if your child tells you something and your reaction goes above and beyond their own emotional level, like you're making it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if your kid comes to you and says, it doesn't matter what weight I am, I'm never going to like the way I look, it's like it's therapy time.
Don't say 8 pounds of sausage in a 5 pound bag.
You don't tell
them
you may be an overstuffed sausage, but so what?
Don't reduce them to deli, to a butcher shop. I don't know, it felt very like I was deeply uncomfortable watching.
I was uncomfortable too. And also then when she's like, you know, I really think your problem comes down to how much you exercise. It's like, no, we're not like we need to get like an actionable plan in place for like how to feel good in your body. And that doesn't necessarily, it doesn't have to do with like weight or the number on the scale. It's just like, what can we do to feel really good? I don't know. This was a conversation that would have better been, would have been better to have off camera.
Yeah.
This whole episode was a little like, let's do this off camera.
Yeah. And I think it's like, because they don't have someone like Danielle, who's like mixing shit up 24/7, they have to resort to like having their actual family drama play out on screen, which is very unhealthy for everyone. I think dealing with Danielle Staub actually is way more healthy than what they're doing now.
I do too. Ashley at the Loretta's house, Ashley tells Jacqueline now that she's thinking of California.
She's, quote, looking into California.
I wrote, oh, honey.
She goes, in California, I can just focus on me. It was like, same.
She's, Jacqueline's like, okay, so do you think maybe getting a job first to save some money up for that? And she's like, well, mom, that's why I would go to California to get a job. And Jacqueline's like, okay. And then under her breath, Ashley goes, just can't wait to like be away from toxic people like you in California. And Jacqueline goes, excuse me? She goes, what?
They're two like sisters, essentially.
Yeah.
They're too close in age.
I know. Just can't wait for...
just want a fresh start away from toxic people. California.
I'm thinking California now.
I'm looking into California.
That's me before I came to LA.
Me too. Like Googling it. Literally. She's like watching The Hills and looking into California, which is exactly what I did. Googling like hillside villas, trying to figure out where the fuck these people are living.
She goes, yeah, I've been doing research. Okay.
Her research was literally pulling up AskJeeves.com and like
looking at pictures of
California.
Pictures of California?
Question mark.
Yeah.
I want to know, did Ashley ever go to...
No, I think she did briefly, but she has a kid now.
Yeah, she has a podcast now too.
She also deleted her Instagram. I went to look this morning.
I hope she's okay.
I think she's doing well. Seems like having a kid. I'm not gonna say that. Can of worms. Maybe delete that.
What?
That having a kid maybe gave her some stability.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I don't want to seem like I'm like, she needed to have a kid.
No, I don't. I did not take that away. Okay. I was like, I followed exactly what you were saying.
California?
California? Question mark? And she's like, I'm looking into it. Victoria and Kathy shop for prom dresses at
the Fig Leaf.
This dress shop
looks like... there was this costume store near me in South Jersey called like, oh God, it had this Italian name. It was this big emporium of like costumes. And it was a little like that Eyes Wide Shut moment with like Lily Sobieski. Not like that element, but just the like the masks.
We went in there a few times. It smells like, I feel like it smells like mothballs. I was like, there's no rhyme or reason to anything that's in there. It's just like tulle, taffeta, and sequins everywhere on like wood paneled walls. I felt like the walls were caving in as I watched this.
And I think Vicky did too.
Her blue dress also is hideously ugly.
It was horrific. They were all like, wow, you look so amazing. And I thought the dress she had on before was great. The sequin one.
Yeah,
I thought
the
that
one
was
shoulder,
cute.
That was cute. And felt yeah, that like was cute. Age appropriate. And like,
I know, Kathy was like,
girl goes to prom.
Yeah, Kathy was like, I don't know about that one. I was like, this is great. She looks actually like super her age. And it's really cute. And this like fish dress, Queen of the Fish.
Pisces. I couldn't. The blonde lady who owns or works at this shop, you hear her mutter in a quote, she goes, oh, that is sexy. I was like, what the fuck drugs are you on?
But also they went from...
That dress was not sexy.
But also, it was just not... She looked like she was 48 in it. Like, it made her... It aged her up so... And she was trying to make her look her age, but it made her look so much older.
Yeah, it was like a really busted, like, pageant queen gown.
Kathy wanted her to look like the Starbucks woman.
Kathy wants her to wear, like, a full, like... Like prairie dress.
Yeah.
She wants no skin showing. She wants her to wear like a pinafore and like little Mary Janes.
But that was, I was like, when she came out in that one dress, I went, oh, that's cute. I was like, I would wear that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she came out in this like mermaid dress, I was like, oh.
I truly was like, don't worry. No one's going to hit on her because they're going to think she's a parent. She literally looks like 38. Yeah. She's going to be a chaperone. Why would you choose a strapless dress that like hugs all your curves and like enhances your tits and ass as like your daughter's dress? Like what? And instead of just like a cute sequin, like off the shoulder dress that was like short, but like it was cute.
It was cute. It looked like a high school formal dress. Yeah. And this dress she's wearing has a fin.
She can't even, like, move in it. She's taking, like, teeny, like...
She's like the alien spy girl in Mars Attacks.
She is. She's taking, like, teeny little baby steps everywhere. Like, yeah. She can't, like, get down and, like, dance at prom.
Yeah, the other one's, like, she can move. She can do the Cupid Shuffle. She can do, like, the electric slide.
Maybe Kathy is like feeling better about that dress because she knows that if Victoria's seen making out with a high school boy, she'll get arrested because the police will think that she's like a teacher fucking one of the students. Then she decides
I'm gonna get that dress.
To have the talk with her in this like literal Silence of the Lambs lair.
Mm-hmm.
This literally is Buffalo Bill's closet.
It was. And Victoria was like taking it in good stride, but was like, Mom, please not here. Like, I already know everything.
I don't think Victoria knew that this was going to happen.
No.
Then also the most inappropriate place to have this conversation, like, A, on camera, and then also in this like dress barn.
Yeah. Everything was just do this. Not in front of us. That's what this episode should be called.
Yeah.
Melissa has K-Mac and the other producers come over to start recording on display in her studio. And it was really uncomfortable. So... First of all, there's a seasonal candle burning in the background. Like a red, like... It looked like some kind of... Yeah, it looked like some kind of like Christmas Yankee candle.
It's like a cinnamon Yankee.
Melissa
already off to a terrible start. I know that she's probably like a massive Yankee head.
Oh, for sure. And Joe Gorga's sitting there, and Melissa makes a ridiculously like racist. It's so I don't even like want to talk about it. It was just so deeply bad.
I drew in my mouth and just like fell open.
She says something like, "Once you go."
She tried to like insinuate once you go black, you never go back, like saying, but then and telling these guys that are working for both her and Joe, I guess at this point, that like Joe's jealous of them because of that. And then Joe's like laughing and they're kind of laughing, but it just feels like really uncomfortable for everyone.
They were
involved,
they...
But mostly them, I would say.
They did not. They were like, ha, yeah. Like, we just want to get out of this basement studio.
What a great
studio.
Way to kick off, like, your work session together.
I wrote, I'm going to kill myself.
I just wrote, no, in all caps, like, underlined 5 times.
Yeah.
2 exclamation points.
Ugh.
But that was true, I'm going to kill myself territory.
KMS.
KMS.
Then Melissa sings
the first verse.
And I wrote, well, first, oh, the wow. Music starts. They start, they, they start the production for this song. The production is great.
Yeah.
And they start the production, and then Melissa just is in the other side, and she goes, what do you want me to do? And the guy goes, well, start singing. And she goes, oh yeah. He goes, first verse.
She says, you tell me when to come in. You tell me. I love that, like, she doesn't even know her own song.
I don't think she knows how to read music.
Then she sings the first verse, and it was,
I can feel the weight of the world.
She's, it's terrible.
Rancid.
Rancid.
Rotten.
But to be fair, Joe is also making this very uncomfortable, like bringing like this sexual element into it. He's like, get sexy, grab the mic, like you're grabbing me, like just watching over everyone. It's very like sinister energy to have in the stew. Like,
yeah,
why can't you just like leave your wife in there to like do her creative thing with her producers? Like, what's the fucking problem?
Yeah, there's like a weird dominance thing going on that only Joe is perpetuating, and it's not good. And then eventually Melissa sounds a little better, but like
she got it together. By the end, I was like, this is a bop. I was like, this is the best Housewives song maybe that's ever been produced.
I think so. I agree. Except Kim Dolciak's original demo. I'm on a tightrope between me and you. There's a tightrope between me and you, and I cannot know. Okay. That was her first original concept.
I can't even remember that one. It's been so long.
Hey!
Hey. I love that Melissa's singing about, like, paparazzi.
I know. They're like, all trying to get her.
Yeah, like, who? No. She's manifesting.
NewJersey.com. Yeah, she is.
Caroline joins Lauren and the boys and Jacqueline for a kickboxing class.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, refuses to do any of it.
With Salvatore for the solution Ferreira. I was into him.
Yeah. Jinx.
I wrote
PMHP. Plow, speed the plow.
Fist me.
Give my ass the solution.
Give me liberty. give me liberty or give me death. Salvatore walks in. They all go, it's the solution. And then he comes in and they're doing an intense kickboxing. Lauren's not there to mess around.
No, she has a lot of shit to work out. I was into her. Like,
I was so into her, like, just unleashing on these mats.
She's unleashing. I love her and Jacqueline being like workout buddies together. Like, they go to classes.
I love their relationship.
Yeah, like I'm into them. And then Caroline's just like being annoying. And at one point she sits down and Salvatore is like, get up. Like, maybe you need some orange slices or something. And Caroline goes, I'm friggin' 50 years old.
I want some water. I'm going to have some water. And he goes, yeah, go on and get some water. And then he sits down. He's like, yeah, you want some orange juice? You want some orange slices? And she goes, no, I'm just 50.
I'm friggin' 50.
Meanwhile, Lauren's turning it out. And meanwhile, Caroline just lectured her about like exercising. And I was like,
I know. Also, I think Caroline might like that Lauren is an 8-pound sausage and a 5-pound case.
Ooh.
That's my hot take. Is that maybe it makes Caroline feel a little bit better about herself.
Damn. That's dark but realistic. I'm out of my comfort zone here.
I'm freaking 50.
Hey, I'm freaking 50. What are you talking about? I don't know about this place.
Why the fuck did you even come here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we cut to the final...
the intervention.
The brunch of doom.
This is the worst brunch of my life.
Jack, Chris, her ex-husband, and Jody. What's her ex-husband's name?
Bobby? Billy?
Bobby? I think it's Bobby. They meet before Ashley's late, as usual.
And they pregame by just, like, shit-talking her relentlessly.
Over, like, hearty Bloody Marys.
And then Chris proposes that they all go in a room and throw Ashley around and smash a face in. I was like, what? He literally is like, we should just all punch her around. He literally is like, we should just beat the shit out of her to get our aggression out.
I'd say once an episode, Chris Lorita like advocates for violence against women.
I mean, it's like one
time. It's a theme with him.
It's now a theme because it's happened at least three times and it's a running trend. Yeah.
Something happened in the Lorita house.
I would say yes.
You ever try beating her?
You ever try beating her? Jalen's like, I'll lend you some slapjacks.
I got a whole pantry.
A whole pantry full of them. You take them at any time you need them.
Then Ashley comes in and as she's walking over, Jacqueline goes, oh, here she is looking like Lindsay Lohan. And she's wearing Jacqueline's. Ashley looks like she's wearing a white fedora.
She does look like Lindsay Lohan. But also, let's just clarify, too. She's wearing this like little white summertime fedora in the dead of winter. She's
with like a black
got her hair straightened
ribbon.
Out and like straightened her hair and then put on her little Panama hat and decided to go hit brunch.
She looks like one of the people in like the movie The Boys from Brazil. And she has a literal shadow over her face. She looks like one of the evil like Nazi doctors that like, you know, Melania Trump wore that really creepy white fedora in like Egypt, I think, and everyone was comparing her to like this Nazi doctor from
she looks like the Nazi doctors that like fled to South America,
yeah,
and like lived out the rest of their days in like Argentina.
Yeah And she comes in and she has like her face looks like the shadow of an eclipse. And that's when you know that you're rock bottoming. Because I've had that face.
Yeah, it's not... The look is not... She's not looking fresh. I'll just put it that way.
Eclipse face. It's real. I had it when I was doing a ton of MDMA.
Solar eclipse
there
face.
There was no light behind my eyes. And that's what she has.
She's got to be doing coke. That's the only way you can stay up all night.
Or ecstasy.
Yeah.
Probably both. More. I mean, who fucking knows?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Could be anything. Crocodile.
This is where, though, the kind of amicable vibe between the two couples, this is where you start to see, like, how it's sort of, there's, like, a little bit of a power play going on. Like, you see Chris try to exert discipline, and then you see her biological father kind of ignore Chris and like be like, I love you. I love, you know, and like it's, you really see Ashley being torn in all different directions.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's very dark to watch.
Well, the way they approach this conversation is unhelpful from the jump, because if they really want to know, like, if they really want to get where Ashley, a sense of where Ashley's head is at, and then help her achieve her long-term goals, it would be more of a strategy planning conversation with all of them being like, okay, you want to move to California? Like, how much money do you think you're going to need? Like, what can you do to make X amount of money? Like, we'll match you with this amount. Like, really being like, okay, we're on board, like, let's figure out how to make this happen for you. And instead, it's like they're basically setting her up to fail.
Yeah, they can be like,
they're keying her up to be like, what do you want to do? You're late, looking like Lindsay Lohan. What are your goals? And then she says it and they're like, basically, you're like,
no.
So stupid if you think that that's like gonna happen. And you're also like a brat.
They should give her like a deadline. Like, you, if you work for the neck till summertime, like at a full time, like even if it's like at CVS or like some like a job nearby, like just like a, just to make money, like wait tables, like do, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
until like, we'll give you till August, and then that will be your date to move to California. But like, you have to work till then. We will help you out any way we can with like securing you, like, you know what I mean? Helping, like, because obviously they have the means to do that. So they can, if they give her an end date, then she has something to work towards and she has something to look forward to. And she can like tell people like, oh, I'm moving to California at the end of the summer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's like, it, and it's legitimate. It's not just her being like, I'm thinking California. Like, instead, you're right. They like, they just ambush her and like cut her.
Yeah. And tell her that her like dreams are stupid. How does she ever think she'll do this? Like, she's so ungrateful and like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, those are, you're having like two separate conversations in this one. Like, if you want to confront her about how her behavior has been like disrespectful and inappropriate, that's one conversation that you can have, but it definitely shouldn't be happening now. Like,
yeah,
you're either trying to help her and like figure out how to like get her kind of up and running and like creating actionable goals that she can achieve, or you're telling her like, this isn't going to cut it. Like, you need to make a plan of how you're going to, like, it just is. I felt for her in this situation.
I did too.
Just like, it's so unhelpful for everyone. Jacqueline gets to play out her own like performative victim narrative that she always likes to do in these situations. And like, Ashley gets to like throw Jacqueline's like own past mistakes in her face, which honestly, if Jacqueline is so triggered by Ashley being like, well, I didn't have a kid at 20, like pulling that card, I just wrote Jacqueline needs to go to therapy. Like, if that sets her off where she's like so upset, she has to like leave the room and she can't like keep calm and then goes and like is heaving sobs in a corner somewhere, like, you need to get your shit together.
Yeah, grow like the fuck other up.
Issues that you haven't dealt with. That's like, this is gonna really like make you fall apart completely.
Yeah, be the parent. Like, yeah, this is your kid. They're like, and yeah, and you're right. It is like she gets off. She gets something out of like, there's a payoff to being like victimized by Ashley, and then Chris like comes in and defends her, and then he comes down on Ashley, and then Jacqueline gets to be kind of hide behind Chris, and then like, it's really
more, yeah, she's more obsessed with proving like how evil Ashley is to like everyone around her than really trying to like understand her and come to some sort of like
solace
with her. Yeah,
and I think there is something also to like, she's extra on high G because it's in front of her ex-husband, and like, I think she, there's, I do think there's like a competitiveness between the two of them.
Yeah,
for Ashley's like affection. And I think, like I said before, like when he babies Ashley after Chris disciplines her, I think he wants to be perceived as like the fun one, or like the one that Ashley like really wants to be with. It's very, it's really complicated, and like, I don't have experience with like divorce, but it's like, I'm sure it's triggering for people who have gone through that.
Seeing Jacqueline also make like little barbs at Ashley, and like, it's like she doesn't fight fair either, but then because mm-hmm. she cries and like acts like so devastated and hurt, then it
yeah.
like diminishes everything that Ashley's saying. When Ashley kind of does try and stick up for herself and makes that point where she's like, what did I say? Like, I never, she knows that she said like the asshole thing. She knows exactly what buttons to push on her mom. But it's also like, she didn't really say anything that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, she brings up things that obviously she knows her mom is sensitive about, which is like not, which is, can be used, can be weaponized, but sometimes the truth is the truth, but it can also be, Ashley's smart enough to know that her mom has like that boundary, I think.
Yeah.
And she likes to cross it.
I'm sure Jacqueline's made it pretty clear to Ashley that like, that
she wasn't planning on it.
Yeah. Like, she's getting that. Her behavior is all learned behavior that she's picked up from the people around her. So, like,
yeah.
I mean, she's younger and less mature. So she's going to use that to get back at them.
Oh, yeah. Also, at a certain point, it's like, okay, because Jacqueline repeatedly says, I just don't want you to end up like me. And it's like, when you say that enough, at a certain point, it's time to just accept, yeah, you had a kid young. Who fucking cares? Move on. It happened. Everything happens for a reason. It's still your fucking kid. You're still her mom. You have to love her. And when you say things like, I just don't want you to end up like me, you're inferring that, Ashley was a mistake. And when you get that, when you get told that, every day, I'm sure that's, really fucking hard. And it's, it sends such a bad message, I think, to the kid that they're, that they were a mistake. And then she has these two other younger siblings who are, born into this big family, and they're biological, and you know what I mean? And it's that must be hard for Ashley to see the parallel realities, the two realities that she and her siblings have lived.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
not related to anyone in that family.
Except the two brothers, and Jacqueline, but it's I don't know. I'm usually very anti Ashley, but I felt really bad for her in this episode, and I know that she's fucking unbearable and annoying, but
I think she's 20 years old. Imagine if some of your family did this to you when you were 20, I would be so pissed.
Yeah. I mean,
come to brunch. We're going to basically kick you out of the house on camera on our reality show.
And make fun of how you're dressed.
I mean, she dresses like shit.
She dresses like shit. She deserved that.
You can dress like shit, but still not deserve to be shit on Real Housewives of New Jersey. I'm obsessed with the guy that's sitting behind in the booth, right behind them, who Jacqueline starts raising her voice and she goes, "You know what? You're so selfish." And you see this guy's scared face, and then he keeps kind of turning around, and then you can tell the whole family that's sitting behind them in the booth is very uncomfortable with the fact that they're privy to this family's drama.
Then Jacqueline goes, "You're so ungrateful. You're the biggest brat I've ever met." And she runs out of the brunch place into the back area where some dark banquet zone, event space. And sits on a bunch of chairs and just cries. And then Chris comes back and she's like,
"Get your shit together. You're a grown fucking woman.
You're 40 years old.
You're 40 years old and you are permanently stuck at the same age as your daughter. You fight like a teenager." She's choke crying. What the fuck? If you're going to really lose it like this, you shouldn't be meeting up at a restaurant right now. Go to therapy. Go to therapy.
Go on Lexapro.
So do they kick Ashley out? Does she move out and is gone from this show after this?
She eventually dyes her hair blonde, and then they move, and then they send her away to
Texas.
Chris's. First, she goes to Texas, and then she ends up at, and then she gets kicked out of that. The dad kicks her out because she's doing the same thing there. And then she moves to one of Chris's siblings who live in Utah, and they're basically it's a sober boot camp. But I think she causes a ruckus there, so she gets kicked out of there's a scene where they drop her off at the Newark airport, and she's just
has sweatpants on and a tie-dye shirt and a duffel, and she's a big pillow and her blonde hair and flip-flops, and she's yeah, whatever, I'll see you guys soon, and then you just never see her again. She never comes back.
Amazing. Yeah. An unceremonious exit.
She has butterscotch hair.
Do they refer to her ever?
Yeah, I mean, Jacqueline Skypes with her, and Chris's sibling, I think it's his sister, who's some ranch person,
Another Larita.
Yeah, and then they like. Is there also? I mean, they Chris and Caroline have a gay brother, Jamie, and I think at one point she might live with him and his husband or something. And they're like this, and they are like super strict with her. She gets passed around to all the whole family, like. So it's like a Larita affair.
Why does she have to get like, I don't understand this. Like, why are you passing around a 20-year-old to like other family members being like, you deal with her. Like,
just fucking give her, like, honestly, let her just move on her own.
Off. Yeah. Just be like, you don't have any more money. Sorry. Wherever you want to move, it's on you. You can stay here. You can't have a car. Like,
maybe cutting her off would be the best thing they could do.
Yeah. They just are enabling.
Even last season when she was like living at her boyfriend's house and like coming over to do laundry, like Jacqueline let her still come do laundry at her house. And like Jacqueline did her laundry, like cut her the fuck off.
Yeah.
Cut her off. And they should have done that a year ago. Like that would have been the best thing for her probably.
Yeah.
Well,
she gets repeatedly like rewarded for bad behavior. She just like got a fucking Jeep with a $500 a month car payment.
It's crazy. That's more than my insurance.
Same. I lease a car too, and it's like way less than that.
And
that was in 2011. That would be like $700 a month now.
Insane. I pay $200 a month.
I think I pay like $317.
Oh.
Well, yeah, she's at this like ranch and they're like, well, we did arts and crafts today. Or something, like the sibling calls them and she's like, I get this girl's out of her. Like they're, and I'm like, and they're all shitting on her still. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you want from her?
Send her to like a fucking Outward Bound, like Scared Straight boot camp, or just cut her off.
If you're 21 years old, like you're 22, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Why would you even want to be at one of those?
Because she's so, because I think she's desperately longing for like a family.
Yeah.
So it's like she's like addicted to like. Anyway.
Maybe we should listen to her podcast. We'll learn a thing or two about her life. Now I'm intrigued.
Mm.
We'll see.
We'll see.
And then the real cliffhanger of an episode. It's to be continued. The saga of Ashley.
The saga.
The saga of Ashley.
And that's about it.
This episode comes to a close.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you next time.
TSB, you can follow Laura at Lars Marie on Instagram and Twitter, where she's becoming more active again on Twitter.
I was, and then I got off social media for like 2 weeks. It was just like social media overload, but now I'm like slowly re-entering the sphere.
You need to be on social. You need to be on Twitter specifically for Ana de Armas updates.
The Ana de Armas updates are really good.
They troll her so much. And also, are she and Ben Affleck do they just live outside now? All they do is take walks.
I think that they just have a constant paparazzi on call to photograph their every waking moment together. It's like, okay, we get it. He's a new man. He has a new girlfriend. The family loves her. Like, enough. I'm so sick of seeing them together. I don't care. It's too much. Like, who is orchestrating this?
Her PR people need to...
They all need to reel it the fuck in. Every day there's a new thing. That we need to see maybe once every 2 weeks an update. It's been every day.
It's every day. And they never are wearing masks. And the Ana de Armas updates always mentions, like, here's Ana de Armas walking through Brentwood without a mask, as usual. Like, they troll the fuck out of them. But I'm like, I think they just, like, sleep in hedges. And then, like, appear in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they're always... And she's always looking right at the camera.
Yeah. Right at her friend, the paparazzi that's paid to document their every move.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Shut the fuck up.
God. Anna de Armas really came out of nowhere and milked the whole Hollywood system for all its fucking worth.
Usually it takes a few years for people to like turn on a celebrity.
It did not take long at all. Literally, I just learned who she was like at this year's award season. And now it's like I can't fucking get rid of her.
Crazy.
I'm so over it.
It's really it's too many picks. Too many cooks.
So just like.
Stop.
I'm resisting. I'm in a place of resist with Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck.
Yeah. We're in the resistance.
Viva la resistance. If you want bonus episodes, we do weekly bonus episodes on Patreon. That can be listened to by becoming a patron at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
And I would like to recommend... I know Pride Month is over, but it's still, you know, I think you've also been, you've donated to them, but the Okra Project is really cool, and they provide culturally relevant meals to black trans people who are in need, and it's a really good resource, and I've been reading about them a lot, and I've been donating to them, like, what I can, and I think, I know Pride Month is over, but it's, we still have to carry
Pride Month
on that.
May be over, but Pride never ends.
Pride never ends. So it's up on, I have a link in my bio right now for Okra Project. And I know
I
Laura
haven't donated to them yet, but I will. I'll set up a recurring donation for them.
Yeah. You also, you've posted some, there was like an artist one that you posted, I think, that was really good.
There's a lot of trans. I've been kind of intermittently donating to what pops up kind of on my Instagram feed, but there's a lot of good GoFundMes set up, which I kind of like donating to because it goes just directly to the person in need. But there are a lot.
The Okra Project is PayPal too, which so it's just straight to the stores. So
love it.
Well. Happy July, Midsommar.
Happy Midsommar. We'll see you next time. Bye. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique, 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.